Good afternoon. The speakers for today will be Joe Muto and John Colangelo. Please go ahead.
Well, good afternoon. My name is John Colangelo, Regional Vice President for Council Portfolio Services. I'm here with Joe Muto, a senior wealth specialist with Investment Planning Council, and he works closely with his clients to provide financial planning services and products to help them live their dreams. His motto is hard-working solutions for hard-earned money. Well, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, John.
Today's conference call, what we're going to do with Joe is discuss the results of the fourth quarter for 2012, and we're going to look ahead to 2013 and what the investment specialists are saying. So let's begin with the first question. Joe, could you comment on some of the equity market returns over the last quarter?
Yeah, before we start, just a quick disclaimer. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus for investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently. Past performance may not be repeated. Information in this call is derived in part by Council Portfolio Services. Okay, now, if we look at the fourth quarter of last year, so 2012, we could see the global markets were up in the quarter, except for the U.S. In the U.S., we had the first quarter was up, the second quarter was down, third quarter was up, fourth quarter was down. And pretty well, that's what they call a sideways market. If we look at the returns in the U.S. last year, the S&P was up 16%, the NASDAQ was up 17%, and the Dow was up 7%. But for the quarter, as I mentioned, it was down. The S&P was pretty well flat, no return. NASDAQ was about -2.5%, and the Dow was -2.5%. Here in Canada, we're pretty well stable, performed about 1.7 for the quarter, but we ended the year at a positive 7%. In Europe, most of the markets performed well. Germany led the way at 5.5% for the quarter, and it did 29% for the year. Spain had the worst return last year in Europe with -4%, but ended the quarter with a +6%. So even though they lost 4.5% in the year, the last quarter was positive. In Asia, the best return was Japan at a +17%, and the Far East, India, returned 25% last year. So that was the returns there, John.
So overall, pretty good in up and down markets and positive and negative returns. But could you maybe just dive a little bit deeper, maybe some of the overview of the markets and what caused those returns?
Yeah, we'll look at Canada since we're here. This is a story that most people know in Canada. The largest contributor to the returns were based on the recovery of RIM. So we've seen the RIM went from about just over $6. Today it's around 16, trading higher based on, you know, their new phone that came out, the Q10 and the Z or Z10, depending if you're Canadian or American. And they had some good sales and they're very happy and there's good response there. Energy was weak, same as last time, based on the slowdown in oil prices. And China is looking more at internal growth as opposed to exports. The best sector was IT, again, because of RIM at 11%, and consumer staples was at 22%. So that was a pretty good quarter. In the U.S., banking stocks were the largest returns. That's where the profits were last quarter. Expectations that the housing is now in recovery mode, and this will lead to more mortgage financing, which will make profits for the bank. IT and telecoms were weaker, and this was mostly because of Apple. Apple, the sales with their new mini pad and their new iPhone were disappointing. It went from over $700 a share to the mid-400s, so about $435 the last time I checked. So very disappointing for Apple. Utilities were negative. There was more attraction to growth areas. Utilities really aren't a growth area. The best sector for the quarter were the financials, return about 5.3, but it did the best at 26%. So the financials in the U.S. really came around. Finally, if we look at the international markets, they had some great returns. Mario Draghi, he's the new president of the European Central Bank, has some work ahead of him, but he had some good pro-European comments in June, and that helped the economies there. Germany continues to be the economic driver in Europe. The UK is a question mark. They could dip into what's called a triple dip recession, so hopefully they can figure something out there. There was some caution because the Eurozone is still struggling with high debt and some sluggish growth. The financial supported by more stimulus from the central bank, so those went up. Again, the same as Canada, falling oil prices due to the slowdown in China. And if we look at who had the best quarter, it was the financials at 9.4. And the best sector, again, financials at 26%. So very similar return to the U.S. at 26 for the financials.
Wow. Well, that's great. Thanks very much for the overview for last year. Let's just move ahead and look at some of the key investment themes that that your investment specialists are seeing in 2013.
Okay, we'll look at first, we'll see what 2013 brings, but some macro risks still aren't resolved. And by that, I mean, you know, the U.S. debt ceiling. It's still the fiscal cliff. Is it a hill? We don't know yet. The budget debate is still going on. In Europe, we have some economic and political uncertainties there. There's the banking system, even the stability within its region. A debt deleveraging is still incomplete. There is deflationary conditions pushing down on growth, and there is volatility. As we've seen in the U.S., up and down, up and down. We're still experiencing that around the world. Monetary policies are becoming less effective. Inflationary low rates, bond purchasing, money printing, that's all they do is print money now.
Mm-hmm.
Upward pressure on commodity prices and also the asset prices. Policymakers have greater influence on the markets today. So as soon as politicians start talking, the market doesn't like what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that pressure and influence on the markets. Longer term issues, we got some headwinds. We have demographic challenges, John. In Europe, North America, there are more older people and retired people than younger people. In China, they have the 4-2-1 syndrome. They have four grandparents, they got two parents, and they have one child. So this effect that they had with the one child per family is going to come back and bite them somewhere, because now you're going to have one person supporting six people. So we're going to see they have to do something there. And this, the growing developed economies, because it's slow growing, how do we maintain all these entitlements? You know, we've seen what happened to Greece and their entitlements, and is this going to be something around the world? And we really have to look at that. The implication is going to be the interest rates are going to stay low, which means bond rates are going to stay low. So if you want guaranteed fixed income equals low return, and that's going to be for a few years to go.
Joe, last year we talked, or previous conference calls, we talked a lot about the debt crisis, and specifically in Europe. Maybe you can take time just to make some comments about what Europe has to do to end some of this debt crisis, if you will.
Yeah, of course, from what I've read and heard, what they really have to do is recapitalization of the European banks. So they have to really look at their banking system overall. In Canada, we have CDIC insurance on our deposits. In the U.S., they have FDIC insurance. So they're going to have to create a European-wide system of insurance for the deposits to make people ease. Also, a European-wide system of supervision and regulation that has been talked about. In Canada, we looked at the leaders in that. We do have regulations, and our banks did not get caught up in this whole subprime disaster. They got to look at some structural reforms. So, again, the structuring how their banking system works, and debt mutualization. And by that, I mean, each country has to take part of that debt rather than just Germany take on the debt. So pretty well, so they have some work to do, but I think they can do it. I really do.
Very good. Joe, can we just maybe shift gears and let's talk about what some of the specifics or what are the areas or the investment specialists are saying?
Yeah, we'll look at that. But what I wanted to do today is I wanted to look at some advice that was written 500 years ago. And this was by a gentleman called Jacob Fugger the Rich. He lived at 1459 to 1525, and was considered one of the original value investors. And I'll read the quote that he had here, and I'll make some reference to a few things. So what he says was, divide your fortune into four equal parts, stocks, real estate, bonds, and gold coins. And gold coins, he means cash, because they didn't have cash in 1459.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared to lose on one of them most of the time. During inflation, you will lose on bonds and win on gold and real estate. During deflation, you will lose on real estate and win on bonds, while stocks will see you through both periods, through a mixed fashion. Whenever performance differences cause a major imbalance, rebalance your fortunes back to the four equal parts. So what he's talking about 500 years ago was diversification and rebalancing. And that's exactly what he says here. Never put all your eggs in one of the baskets, which are one of the sectors, and make sure that we diversify. And that's what we try to do, is diversify, but I also feel rebalancing is probably one of the most important things to do.
Okay, well, let's look at one of those baskets. Look at what your bond investment specialists are saying about the bond market going forward.
TD Asset Management does our Canadian bonds, I guess, so we'll look at that. And basically what they said is their government bond yields are very low, and they expect the short-term rates to stay low for an extended period. Higher yields in the credit market, when they look at the government bonds, lead support to the current preference for investment-grade bonds over government. So what they're looking at is they feel they can get better returns in the corporate side of bonds rather than government. So they're looking at it's the best way to go. And on the whole, they expect low single-digit returns in bonds for the next few years. So they're not saying you're going to get like 8, 9, 10%, but it's going to be low in the yield environment.
Right. What about your Canadian equity managers, specifically on the Canadian Value? What is Fiona saying?
Well, if we look at, we have different, I like using a neutral approach, so we have value and growth, and the value managers like to buy companies at a discount and sell it when they feel it hits their value again, and a growth manager will like to buy a company and then sell it when they go up in value. So as Fiona being the, and by the way, the quote I got from Fuga the Rich was from Kim Shannon, who is Fiona's manager. And she says, we don't believe we have seen full and complete capitulation necessary to start the next secular bull market in equities, but we do believe conditions have been moving in the right direction. As stocks continue to drift out of favor and capital continues to exit equity funds, Fiona grows more optimistic about the future of equities. She's still a proponent on the sideways market, but it looks like she's getting more confident there.
How about the counterpart? You mentioned this growth and value. What about the Canadian growth side?
On the growth side, Picton, who manages the Canadian growth, they say financial markets typically rejoice in the early stages of an economic recovery as confidence grows and uncertainty wanes. We think that we may have reached the peak of uncertainty at a time where economic growth goes from being driven by low interest rates and government deficits to a self-sustaining economy powered by the spending of corporations and consumers. And this is interesting. They also say, we believe that during the first half of 2013, markets will be driven by hope. During the second half of 2013, that hope will need to translate into reality supported by hard data and difficult decisions. So basically what he's saying, we have a lot of hope right now. A lot of people are confident. They feel things are getting better. I do as well. But in the summer, it has to translate into some returns. So if the hope is supported by good data and that it looks like we're on the right track, we'll see a great year ahead.
Well, Joe, that's once again, it's great to join us. It's a lot to take in. Thank you very much for having me. And I'll turn it over back to you.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sean. One of the things we're doing is we do conference calls every quarter. So the next one will be scheduled Thursday, April 11th at noon. We're going to be posting this call on the website, and you can feel free to send questions to me at joe.muto@alistonfinancial.com or give us a call at 705-435-0001, and I'll expand on any of the topics that I just mentioned before. And once again, our commitment, your future. Thanks, and goodbye.